Hey, Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
It's pro time, Nebraska. The Omaha Supernovas, your Major League Volleyball team, have exploded onto the scene with record crowds and a fan experience that is second to none. Witness world-class talent at the CHI Health Center in downtown Omaha. Have fun with family and friends and get to know this team and feel the energy they are bringing to Nebraska. Don't wait to be a part of history. Secure your single match tickets today at supernovas.com. That's supernovas.com.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I am your host, Redcast Rob, and I have a very special show Miranda Coleman. Oh, hello. That's what we get. You know, this is a podcast, right? So like waving to the camera doesn't exactly, you know, work for a lot of people. I'm also with her husband, Craig Coleman.
Hello. Hello.
And I am also with Andy Vidopia. I think I said that right. So perfect. Let me tell you a little bit more about who these people are. First of all, we have a president of Fly Like Kai Foundation and mother of Husker wide receiver Malachi Coleman. Let's see. We got Craig here, who is also Malachi's father and vice president of Fly Like Kai and Miranda's arm candy, as I like to say. And then we have the publisher and co-author of the Fly Like Kai book, right? It's that we are actually the reason why we are meeting here tonight, Andy Vidopia. And, you know, what you guys are doing with Fly Like Kai and what your son is doing with Fly Like Kai and some of the partners that he has helping him to promote this is just an absolute wonderful thing. And I know that when we met, God, it's been about a year since we've met, you actually announced the launch of Fly Like Kai on that show. And so I wanted to get back together with you guys and actually sit down and talk a little bit about what you've accomplished over the last year, some of the partners that you've brought in with you on this, whether it's, you know, I hate calling it NIL because as far as I'm concerned, your son is doing charity work because all the money that he gets from his NIL deal, he is putting right back into Fly Like Kai. And Miranda, I know you love to talk about it more than anybody else, so I'm going to let you remind everybody here what Fly Like Kai is about, mission is, and also kind of what's going on with the foundation at this time.
Sure. Awesome. So like Rob said, Fly Like Kai launched about a little over a year ago. We follow very closely with the mission that Malachi set out, which is to support kids in the foster care system through funding activities, fees for sports, music, arts, dance, technology. So we are mostly a grant writing agency at this point. We write grants out to foster care agencies, CASA, all your foster agencies. And we do some direct payments for kids in care to pay for those activities fees. But that's really our mission is just to ensure that money does not get in the way of kids in the system participating in activities.
That's awesome. Maybe Craig, do you want to talk about some of the partners that you guys have brought in, including Andy here, and talk about exactly, you know, kind of what you guys are working towards and what some of the goals are currently, like outside of just what the mission statement of the foundation is?
Sure. One of the recent, events that we did was with Allo Communications. Give a shout out to your employer there, Rob.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I've made it well known that I am an employee of Allo Fiber. I have it here in my home. I sell to businesses the internet fiber and basically on net services like VoIP and whatnot. But one of the reasons that I joined Allo Fiber personally was because of the involvement that they have in every community that they are in. And I know that you guys have been working really close with Sophie, right, out there, the Allo in Lincoln, right? And Sophie is a coworker of mine, and she, you know, was really big on this. If you go through her social media posts and if you go through her LinkedIn, like all she does is talk about her involvement in the community through Allo. So what did you guys do with them?
So we did a bowling event where we had kids come bowl with Malachi for free for a few hours. There were giveaways, baskets, signed autographs, just a lot of stuff that we really just had to show up and be a part of it because Sophie took care of everything. And it was a great event for that. So one of the other things that we should probably talk about here since Andy is on is the Fly Like Kai book. It's been a great opportunity for Malachi to get out, or Malachi's story to get out, and just be a good story for kids to understand that maybe they're not in the spot where they want to be right now, but that shouldn't stop them from achieving their goals in the future.
It's true. And I mean, that's literally what Malachi's story is all about. Right. And your daughter and just kind of what you two actually, I mean, let's not cut out your part in that because you guys have provided that opportunity for them, like through your home and through your love for them. So that's amazing. Andy, you helped write the book, as you said before we started the show. You know, you are the co-author because really, you know, they wrote the story themselves, right? And you know, you're an non-illustrator because you can't draw stick men, but you are the publisher.
Yep.
And so I give you the floor here to talk about, because you know, you guys have been promoting something with the book lately, and I think that it's super important that we get this out there. I will say this. You know, Blake says, "What up, sis?" So I if Blake is Blake your brother, the one who, okay, yeah, that we've talked about your brother before. Good things, Blake, I promise. Good things, I promise. But I got off track there because it was our only comment. But so there is something that you guys are promoting with the book and about the book, and you actually reached out to me, Andy, not understanding the relationship I have with Miranda and Craig already. So I love it. I love your enthusiasm for it all. And so I absolutely wanted to make sure that we made this happen. So I'm going to kind of give you the floor a little bit about like maybe how it came about with you doing this. And putting it all together for them. And then maybe you can explain to me why my book was not addressed to the Redcast Rob when it was signed.
I don't know if I'll be able to answer that last one, but Rob, first I want to thank you for having us on the show here. It's things like this that really do get the word out. So I appreciate it, and certainly appreciate the Colemans being on also, because they've been tremendous partners. It's really, you know, the passion that they show and the involvement that they've been with the book really inspires me. A lot of my friends will say, "Well, when are you doing your next book?" And I'm like, I don't need to do another book right now. I mean, I am all in on this book. There's not only plenty to keep me busy, but every time I see what the Colemans are doing, what Malachi is doing to promote the book, I'm just all in. And it's funny you should even mention about, you know, when I reached out to you, not knowing that you knew the Colemans or working with the Colemans. I probably should have known that, because everybody I talk to in Nebraska knows each other. I mean, it's got to be the biggest, smallest state that there is, because I talk to so many people, bookstores, hotels, and everybody knows each other. So I also want to add, I'm in my early 60s, soon to turn the page to later 60s, and I grew up a Nebraska fan. So this is almost like coming home to me, and I'm just thrilled that I'm getting to work with all the people in Nebraska. You could just really, what a special place it is. Grew up worshiping Tom Osborne. I mean, you know, the Mount Rushmore of coaches. Actually got to speak to him 4 times, and every time I spoke to him on the phone, literally I was shaking. And I got to tell you, I've talked to a lot of people in my life, and I don't shake very often. I do with him, and it's just been a tremendous experience for me. And again, like you said, the story it tells people, this is like, I've done three other books and they're kind of football books. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a football book, right? This is a statement book. And I'll shut up in a second, but
no, you're great.
A lot of people ask me, you know, it's an illustrated book, it's a children's book, you know, what are the right ages? And I can say with all honesty, it ranges from 3 to 87 at least, mm-hmm. because my 3-year-old granddaughter loves the book. And I can tell you, Coach Osborne, when I took him through the book, loved it also. So if you're between the ages of 3 and 87, this is a book you want to have.
You know, my 8-year-old daughter reads it to my 4-year-old daughter. So that's pretty cool. So I gave it to her, and you know, it's fantastic. She's extremely smart young girl, and she reads at a really high level. But she read it to my youngest daughter occasionally. So it's pretty cool stuff going on. And it's funny that you say that about Coach Osborne too, because you know we actually interviewed him here on the Redcast a little over a year ago. It feels like a lot longer ago, but you know, time is a flat circle these days. But you know, the night before I interviewed him, or we interviewed him as a podcast, I had been kind of communicating with him and a couple other people on his team just to set the whole thing up. And I was sitting at dinner the night before and my phone starts to ring. And usually I'll grab the phone and I'll just like send it right to voicemail during dinner time or whatever, you know, and whatever. And I look at it and it says Tom Osborne on it. And I looked at my wife and I showed her the phone and she said, "You're excused." So, you know, and the first thing the guy says, I answer the phone and I said, "Good evening, Coach Osborne. How are you?" And he says, "Hello, Rob. I hope I'm not interrupting you in the middle of anything." And I literally said to him, "Tom, Dr. Osborne, Coach," I was like, "You could call me right now and tell me that Nancy needs a ride somewhere and I would drive the 6 hours to Lincoln to pick her up." Like, so, I mean, I get what you're saying, and it's cool. Cause I still now I'll send him, text messages on important days, like his birthday or his anniversary, things like that. Just wishing him a happy birthday, or happy anniversary from the Redcast. And he always responds, "Thank you very much, Rob. That means a lot." And that's cool. Cause he uses my first name. So I can always tell everyone I'm on a first name basis with Coach Osborne. But you know, it's great. I think most importantly, and I think what we're both saying here, that the emphasis is just how much involvement he still has in the community and how much he is still giving back out there for it. So I think it's really cool to hear that.
Well, on that note, I want to add something because it's a great lead in. So in addition to writing a foreword for the book and being very gracious to me, the 4 times I spoke to him, he actually signed 100 copies of the book, and 100% of the sales price, not the proceeds, not net, the sales price goes to charity.
Yeah.
And he wanted me, when I talked to him, he said, "Hey, you know, I want people to know I'm not making anything off this," because he was very, you know, conscientious about, "Hey, I don't want people to think I'm making money off this." I said, "Coach, every time we sell a book, I add a little note saying, you know, it's on the website, it's going to charity. And I add a little note that says, you know, this is, you know, nobody's making money off this and it's all going to help children."
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this shows you the type of person he is. And it's just, like I said, it's been a thrill for me.
And you guys are raising money right now, right? For this. I've seen a bunch of stuff that you guys are posting on social media, and you know, I just want to make sure that we get the word out there for that. You know, and I feel really bad. I was out working all day. I got home about 5 minutes before we started this. So I want to post a link there. So Miranda, if you want to throw that in our chat there, on the chat section for me, and then I'll put it up on the screen. But there is a link that you guys listening or watching can donate to tonight. And their goal is to get to
1,025 books.
And how close are we to that?
We have a ways to go still, Rob. We're sitting at about 175 books is about where we're at so far.
Okay. Well, we can do better than that. And I should say we at the Redcast, we're going to make a $100 donation towards that tonight. And you can send those books to whoever you want to send them to. Did you post that in there for me yet?
I haven't yet. Craig, do you have it?
Come on, Arm Candy. Let's get this going. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. I mean, we've got out there, we've got the message we've got, but you know, it's like, this isn't a 15-minute podcast. People come here to listen to the Redcast because they want to talk two things, Husker football and Kool-Aid. Right. And occasionally we will talk about other sports too. And, you know, right now the Husker baseball team is 17-5. They're 13 out of their last 16 games. They've won. They're number 10 in the RPI. They are, number 16 in strength of schedule right now. I'm great. You know, both of our men's and women's team made it into the NCAA tournament this year. Maybe not all the success that we hoped that they would have, but we're super proud of them out here right now. You know, our football team just started spring practice this week, which is why your son couldn't make it to the show tonight, because, you know, they're basically it's a camp for them, right? They're like practice, school, and meetings at night. So, you know, they're putting in the work that they need to now for the season. And, you know, I thought maybe it'd be kind of fun to talk about kind of how you guys are trying to work through this whole, I guess, you know, time in your lives with him doing all of this, working with the foundation, and kind of what you guys think your expectations for, you know, Husker football is going to be this year.
Well, I mean, we drink all the Kool-Aid, right? All of it. Well, every last drop in this house. So, I mean, we're winning the whole thing, right? Like, isn't that, we're in the off season. So we're going to win everything.
I mean, I am the Redcast Rob, so I think everyone knows I actually have an award, which is right here, that I won for the Nebraska Podcast Awards, and it is actually Kool-Aid-aholics Anonymous Award winner this year for the Nebraska Podcast Awards. So, undisputed champion. I really think, I don't know how close the voting was on that, but if it was close at all, then somebody's not doing their homework. I've actually getting a tattoo of the Kool-Aid man designed with a electric, like he's in the electric chair, and I'm going to put an N on the little helmet that you wear on the electric chair and all that. You know what? So what's it like for you guys though? And even you, Andy, now that you have this relationship, like, you know, your son's on the team. I mean, that's like a whole nother level of fandom. Not only do you live in Lincoln, he grew up in Lincoln, played in Lincoln. Now he's literally playing on like the biggest stage in Lincoln and possibly one of the biggest stages in the country, no matter how bad Nebraska is at football when they are bad. And right now we've been pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's still a matter of, you know, we've got one of the best fan bases and the nation's watching. They, you know, people love to see us fail. They love it when we succeed. But what's it like for you guys as, you know, parents for it?
As a lifetime fan, I mean, it's so cool to get to see the inside workings of the football program. But for me, it's just humanize it. I know the coaches. I know a lot of the players. I get to know a lot of the families. And so for me, it's made it smaller. It's made it more of it's family. Like I don't know how else to, and I know Coach Rule preaches it's all about family and creating that family atmosphere. And he really, really does. So it's been really cool to be on the inside.
Yeah. I'm sure it has. Craig.
You know, it's been a really cool experience to get to not only see my son out there playing, but to get to know the other players as well and the families of their own. We've got some really good friends. We've become really good friends with the Newtons out in Scottsbluff. Kai Wallen's parents as well out in Sacramento. So, and it's just been a really good experience to have those types of people being able to help them out, because during Thanksgiving, everybody had to be in Lincoln for the game. They couldn't go anywhere. So we had, what, 120?
About 60 people in our house.
Okay. Yeah. So
120, yeah, 60
people for,
yeah, give or take a few.
Typical man, always making it twice as big as it is.
Well, I think we ended up with food for 120 people.
That's fair.
That's
okay.
True.
That is amazing. So, okay. Okay.
Overall, it's a great experience.
Yeah. Is the viewership any different for you now, Andy, now that, you know, you've been so involved?
I don't know if it's different, but Rob, I'll tell you what, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. When I look at the team, and I do follow them religiously, you know, look how many games last year were lost by one score. Could have been one in the fourth quarter. I think this team is right on the edge of being really, really good. So you can count me in as part of the Kool-Aid when you ask, do I have any personal interest? Yeah, that's my team now. I mean, I tell people, listen, I always try and be honest so I can always say the same thing because it's what it is. I had three kids go to Georgia Tech. And if you want to talk about some hard times, it's tough to follow Georgia Tech football, though it's changed a little bit. So these books is not only allowed me to get to know some of the players and the parents, but it's also given me other teams to root for. And God bless my wife, you know, on Saturdays from 11, starting with pregame kickoff, till 10 at night when we go to bed, we watch football. So I'll watch every Nebraska game because I have the Big Ten Network. I'll watch every Penn State game and every Georgia Tech game. Two out of those three teams will probably win. And unfortunately for my kids, it will not be Georgia Tech, but hopefully they'll turn them out too. So, yeah, I've got a vested interest in this. I'm coming out for the spring game. I hope to actually make it to another game also. We all go last year. Miranda can attest to this. It's sometimes because they ran so much, you don't get to see the wide receiver, but we'd always be peeking, me and my wife, to see if number 15 was out on the side. So I'd tell her, hey, I saw he caught a pass, this and that. Oh, he actually has played every game, but because they ran the ball so much, I didn't always see him. But again, that's how we're watching the game. We're always peeking on the side of the screen, looking for where number 15 is lined up. And when he scored that touchdown, you probably could have heard a scream coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, because we were going nuts.
Well, it's funny that you say that too, because it's literally how I watch the game now too. I mean, it's like, it's almost to the point now where, you know, Craig, we text during the games. You guys will be at the games texting me back sometimes. And like when certain players are made, and I'll be like, he's coming in. Like I was so excited in the beginning of the season when he started getting playing time. And I'm like texting you guys going like, oh, I'm never going to hear from him. And loving me back and the whole time. And when he scored that touchdown, I wish I could scroll back in our text thread because I'm pretty sure that there was a lot of like curse words in a happy way coming out of my mouth at that time. And it was kind of like lots of exclamation points and holy cow. And, you know, I kind of wish I could have been there to like hug them when that happened, because I can't imagine what that would have felt like as a parent to see my son and that was a play they should have ran six times a game as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. The most impressive thing about your son, though, out on the
story, though.
Oh, yeah, please.
Hardest touchdown. So my brother was on, commented earlier. So little known fact, my brother does the headsets for all the coaches. So he's at every single game. And so when Malachi scored his touchdown, his teammates are all cheering him and he's running down the sideline. He runs over and he hugs my brother, who's the headset guy. And I'm just waiting for someday for the TV to follow him when he's over hugging the headset guy. And people are going to be so confused why Malachi's hugging the headset guy.
That's fantastic. So he's hugging his uncle, which is, I mean,
yeah,
that's why we do it, right? I mean, that's hugging Uncle Blake. Shout out to Uncle Blake again. Yeah, it was. I think I will say this though, is that my favorite thing about watching your son play, and like you, Andy, like I'm the same time. Like if he's on the field, you know, a lot of times I like to watch the game in the trenches just to see how it's going. But when he's on the field, I can't take my eyes off him. It's become that kind of fandom. And I don't want to say it's distracting, because the plays that he is not like the target receiver, or if it's a running play, he's giving 180% effort on those. I mean, the blocks that he is throwing on the outside, there are some runs last year that there was at least an extra 5-10 yards because of the blocks that he's putting out.
You know, it's again amazing, you know, that you should say that, because that's the exact same observation we're doing. When I do that run and play, I almost lose track of the ball carrier because I'm watching Malachi do the block. And you are 100% right that and I'll tell you something. This should be good for the Colemans, because, again, I'm a big football fan in general, and not to talk Georgia Tech again, but when Georgia Tech ran the triple option, they had a couple of receivers go to the pros, and they'd always say the reason why they made it was because they were forced to block. And when I watch Malachi throwing those blocks on plays that, you know, the camera doesn't focus on him, but I'm watching it, that's a great thing. I mean, he's got a great future, because just like you said, he's willing to do the dirty work and the athleticism. Well, I'm anxious to see the athleticism catching the ball as they start to throw the ball. But that blocking, that first year may serve him as well as any year, even after he starts catching more balls because they start throwing the ball. But learning to block, it would always resonate with me that those receivers would always say, hey, we threw the ball 10 times a game, but we learned how to block, and that's what the NFL scouts like. So, and that is effort. And like you said, he's all in already. And that's pretty amazing as a freshman, by the way, because I've been told by people who know freshman receiver is probably the hardest thing to learn as a freshman, because it's all different routes and everything else that, you know, it's not just natural ability. You've got to learn a lot too. And most of these kids, and I don't know about Malachi, but when you're a star in high school, you're probably not asked to block as a receiver. And what was he doing? Busting his rear end and making those runs happen. So it's kind of funny. We're watching the game the exact same way.
Yeah. You know, and it's, and the thing is too, is that there are some people out there that still want to talk about, and a lot of it too, are just, and it blows my mind. The biggest fans of Nebraska football are Nebraskans. The biggest haters of Nebraska football are Nebraskans. I mean, they could tear people down so fast and so quickly for literally no reason. You know, these are kids that are out there playing a game that they love. And I realize now with NIL, some of that, changes some things, but with your son, it doesn't change it at all, because he's literally taking the money he gets and putting it back into the community, right? He's not taking any of that money. And, you know, if you're just looking at stats of a player and you're not actually watching that player on the field, you know, and what they're doing when they don't have the ball, then you're not really watching football, right? I mean, because there are a lot of defensive guys who will be, oh, that guy in the middle, he's not very good because he doesn't make a lot of tackles. No, what he's doing is he's eating up three other offensive linemen, or he's eating up three defenders on that side so that somebody else can make the tackle, or so that, you know, somebody else can make the run, you know, off to their, you know, over their right side or over their left side. So it's like, it's the things that you're doing when the focus isn't on you that really count towards that. And and quite frankly, I'll just tie that into exactly what he's doing with the foundation too. I mean, you know, it's like the things you do when people aren't watching are really describing like the kind of person that you are, right? And to your guys's credit, you know, you raised him that way, and there's really nothing anyone can say about that's negative. And when they do, they just kind of, you know, pardon my language, but they just look like an asshole. You know, I don't do a lot of swearing on this podcast, but that's one thing that, like, when I see that, and it's like, oh my god, I need to create a burner or something just to like go off on these people. But you know, it's like,
I crossed our mind too to create a burner, but it ain't got
that. We've had this conversation before. Yeah, they'll find you, given the way that you respond. Like, I keep sending me the stuff that you just want to talk trash about. Yeah, and then, you know, because it's easier that way. So, okay, I'm gonna get off track here just a little bit. What is up with the guitars, Craig? I mean, there's like 20 of them back there. Notice I doubled it up, Miranda. What's up with that?
Well, so when I was in college, I took up guitar and decided to start buying guitars and playing guitars. And so now I just play bass in the church band anymore. And so that's really about it.
That's it, huh?
I need a place to store them, and they make a pretty good backdrop.
Well, if you have a drum set at your house, I'd love to stop by and jam with you sometime, you know?
Actually, I do.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll talk because I'm coming out. I'll be out in Lincoln next month. So, and I'm coming out a little bit early before the spring game. And so I'll be around. So maybe we'll
it has not been out of storage in probably 15 years. So
I've got a drum set here at my house too. So I played a punk rock band in college.
Nice.
Yeah. And I can't say that you could find any of my music anywhere on the internet. Maybe if you looked really, really hard, but I do have copies of it, and you know, I will send it to any listeners upon request in good old fashioned MP3 form. Because I'm not paying the money that they want for you to upload the music to like Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff, right? Because
when I was in college, we played in a reggae ska punk style band.
That's my boy.
all original stuff. It was pretty eclectic mix called Backburner out in Kearney. I like to say that we had many records and we played all the major holidays for the brewery out there, the Head Brewing. Uh-huh. You know, Cinco de Mayo.
Major holiday, Cinco de Mayo, Patty's Saint Day.
you know, New Year's. So.
That's funny. Well, I mean, you talk about ska, reggae, punk, and I just was out in Vegas for 311 days. Everybody knows, I'm sure, that listens to the podcast. And I visited the Punk Rock Museum while I was out there and got myself a Operation Ivy tattoo on my left calf. So, you know, if you want to talk about ska, punk, reggae, one of the original Bay Area punk bands, you know, as Green Day was coming up and all those bands, it's kind of where I'm at in my life, where I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm probably, you know, I just turned 50 last weekend. So, you know, now, yeah, on Sunday, well, you wished me a happy birthday on Facebook or something like that. So
somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. But yeah, so I think we walked a little bit of the same path, although I wasn't really playing in Kearney, Nebraska. I was playing in like clubs in like Oakland and San Francisco and, you know, Marin probably County and whatnot. Kind of the same thing. Kind of the same thing. You know what I mean?
Kearney, Oakland, same thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So next question, you have a daughter, Nevaeh, and she goes to high school in Lincoln and she's a sophomore. Is that right?
She's wrapping up her sophomore year.
And she is one heck of an athlete. And, you know, you're always posting pictures of like being on campus, watching softball games, things like that. Are we maybe looking at a future Husker there, or what's going on with that? Can we talk about recruiting, or, you know?
Yeah. So if her brother has anything to say about it, she will be a future Husker. Recruiting for her will kick off in this fall. So, you know, we have nothing else going on this fall, so we'll just do some softball recruiting.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you don't have anything going on with football during the fall at all, right? I mean,
yeah. So easy. Yeah. No, she's super talented. She's also a three-sport athlete, track, basketball, and softball.
And she just picked up basketball, right? Is that right?
She did. her second year, she made varsity. She's just crazy talented. Yeah.
So she's the real athlete in the family. Is that what we're talking about?
I mean, if you want to compare number of varsity letters that they'll leave high school with, she'll have him in spades. But
oh boy, and I'm sure he will never hear the end of that.
Oh no, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So. She knows how many letters she needs.
Okay. Yeah. Well. You know what? That's good. And I'm sure it's probably written on her wall. Let's be honest. She probably has a vision board and it's like marking it off with pins or something in there.
I'm telling him.
Right. But she's like, what's her favorite? Is it softball? Softball by far? Or is it? Yeah.
Softball. I mean, she would love to run track in college too. However, softball is a spring sport in college. And so,
yeah,
but softball over everything.
Softball over everything. Nice. Yeah. And then your oldest son, he's done with college, right? He's out in the world
in December. Again, we're not going to see this fall. So he'll graduate with a music degree.
Okay. Music degree. And is he, that's awesome. I'm really involved. Well, sort of involved. I was when I worked for the newspaper, a little bit still now that I'm with Allo, but with the local Philharmonic Orchestra here, the Greeley Philharmonic. Shout out Ben Barnhart, president and great golfing buddy. Yeah. And it's cool. I love going to the concerts. I actually have tickets coming up here for, looks like April 26th. You have Romance, Revenge, and Revelry in music, so I'm sure that that'll be a good one. And then in May we've got the Sounds of Cinema, which is always great, right? So, you know, and so I pay a lot of attention to that. And is he going to do anything with the degree in music? Is he going to be a teacher? Is he going to try to join like an orchestra or philharmonic or anything?
Nope. So he does not want to teach. He is a composition major.
Okay.
I don't know where he'll land. I see him like music design, mastering, that kind of work. Okay. He has a real ear for it. He plays a zillion different instruments, self-taught a lot of those instruments. So we'll see when graduation comes around, kind of what direction he decides to go, but.
That's great. Well, if you want to ever send him my way, and I've got some really good connections out here, the Greeley Philharmonic is the oldest orchestra west of the Mississippi. So, and it's pretty cool. They perform out here, and they have some really good junior orchestra programs out here as well. They do a program basically where kids can write a melody, right? They write a melody, and then they have a composer out here who chooses his favorite melody and then writes an entire like orchestra around it for the student. So the student gets to sit up on stage and hear their music come to life from this composer, which is a super cool way to get young kids into music, right? Like that's kind of
that's awesome
thing. So, you know, it'll be really cool to see your son, you know, do something like that.
Yeah. We just went to a recital where they played all the pieces that he has written. And it's stunning. It's just stunning to me. Like my brain doesn't work. Music's not a strength for me. So it just doesn't work that way. And it's just stunning.
Yeah. It's weird.
I grew up going to community concerts, and it actually brought back memories of me sitting there and listening to a lot of the stuff, the music playing during that.
Yeah, I love it. It's you know, Andy, I don't know if you're into going to orchestras or philharmonics or anything, but you know, it's like I grew up playing piano. I started playing at a really young age. I was like 2.5 or 3 years old, learning just notes on the piano, and then I actually took lessons through all of like my sports times, everything like that. I still made time for once a week to go to a lesson for playing piano until I was almost 17 years old when I quit. And so it's funny because when I listen to music, I'm the worst at remembering lyrics. But like, if you asked me to like hum a song out from the beginning to the very end, and even like if you were like, now do the bass, or now, you know, now like I could do it in my head. I could sit down a lot of times and just like someone say, here, play this song. I can play the song on drums with nothing else around me and like not even listening to it, just out of memory, you know. And it's, you know, it's like that's kind of how I hear music. That's a little bit different. So but I've never been able to write it down. I've never been able to put all the pieces together to do that. And so it's really cool because, you know, that's it's amazing how different yet the same all of your kids are as far as like the ability to, you know, balance so many little things, you know, as they go along. That speaks a lot. So kind of cool. But you, Andy, you said you have kids. What do they do?
Well, yeah, but all my kids are out of the house. So I've got a son who I always give him credit, by the way. He's the reason why I got into this whole book deal with NIL. Okay. It was his idea, so I always do a shout out for him. Okay. But he works in Manhattan. And then I have a daughter who lives in Old Town Alexandria. And then I've got the daughter who lives close by. Thankfully, she's the one with the three kids. So we get to see our precious granddaughters on now a regular basis. So
where is home for you? I don't think we even.
So have... it's just north of Atlanta, a town called Marietta, Georgia.
I know Marietta.
Yep. So You could tell this is not a Georgia accent.
No, I was going to say you're from like upstate New York or something.
No, Long Island.
Long Island, okay.
Maybe, after 28 years being in Atlanta, the accent shifted north a little. But I would give my advice to the Colemans is with three kids, just like I had three kids. As crazy as this is, it's the best time of your life. When you think when you get up at Saturday and you say, oh my goodness, I have six places I have to be and there's only two of us and kids are, it is crazy and cherish every minute of it because once they're gone, you wind up having to find things to do. And the next thing you know, you're writing books with college athletes.
Well, joke's on you, Andy, because my oldest son turns 23 this year. My youngest son is a sophomore in high school, but he'll be 17 in June. Like right after he gets out of his sophomore year, he'll be 17 already. And then I got remarried and I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter. Maybe actually jokes on me. I will not be an empty nester until well into my 60s. So, you know, but it's great. I mean, you know, outside of the occasional temper tantrum or, you know, the girls fighting, like, they're keeping me young, you know. It's almost like having grandkids in the house at my age, you know. But they're my own kids, and I can't give them back to their parents, you know, because I am their parents. That's the crazy part.
You know, we're talking about kids again. I don't know why it's just stuck out at me. One thing with Malachi that I saw, and he's not just an athlete. He's not just working the foundation, but he made. I'm going to say honor roll. Miranda, you can correct me. What is it? He won an academic award, which I saw that and I said, he's got track, he's got football, he's got the foundation. Oh, and he actually studies too. So what, Miranda, maybe you could, because to me, that's just incredible also.
Yeah. So he is a scholar athlete. I forget what he said his GPA was for the semester, but scholar athlete. And I will tell you, school has never been Malachi's strong suit. Early years, he missed a couple of years of elementary school and very formative years of his education. So his confidence in education has never been super strong. So he struggled through school, and for him to get scholar athlete and did it without any support from mom and dad, he just was at school, took care of it, did what he was supposed to do. Couldn't be more proud.
For what it's worth, I was proud of him too, and he doesn't even know that, but I saw that, and again, that's just such an important thing. You know what's next for him? He's got to beat Coach Rule in ping pong. I think that's his next step. I don't know if you know the ping pong story. I'll let Miranda, but there's a whole page on ping pong, and I did. This is the cool thing about the book. People will learn not only things that about Malachi, not only things about how the great things he's doing, you also get a little bit of the inside scoop on some things that people wouldn't know about the football team.
Yeah, it's I've seen that, but yeah, and I think you told that story once before. And it's funny, Andy, full disclosure, I've never actually met Malachi yet, whether through the podcast. I've seen person a few times and hung out a little bit here and there. But you know, it's like I get proud of him too. Like when I see stuff like that, and she posts more about it on Facebook than she does on Twitter, really, about, you know, like some of the personal stuff. So I see it and I'm like, oh, like, you know, all the feels for that, you know, and it's funny because it's like how you can be so proud of, you know, someone that you don't like actually know, but it's true. My question, and we'll get to the ping pong story in a second, is does he have like an ambition now to maybe end up on the wall inside of, like, you know, season ticket holders? When you walk into the stadium through the season ticket holder doors, on the wall there, posted on the wall when you're going up to like the club level seats, are all of the All-American, Scholastic All-Americans, I think they are, for that Nebraska has put out there. You know, and I'm wondering, is his goal maybe to get on there?
I mean, I'll have to ask him. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, he can get up there on the wall with Dr. Rob Zadica and, you know, the likes of that. So, the Huskers have more Scholastic All-Americans than any other school in the country.
Oh, so.
pretty amazing stuff. So wait, tell me this ping pong story.
Coach Rule is apparently, like, as Malachi calls it, stupid good. It's like, it doesn't even make sense is what Malachi says, that how good Coach Rule is. So the team plays ping pong regularly, but Malachi's never been able to beat Coach Rule.
And there's a page in the book on that, right? So, yeah. The last line says, "Watch out, Coach Rule, I'm coming for you." And we actually got Coach Rule to sign the book, and it was kind of cool because he said, "Matt Rule, number one." Basically, he's still number one. And we auctioned that book off for charity.
Yeah.
So we raised $450, and 100% of that's going to the Fly Like Kai Foundation. I guess I can't post a picture here. I do have one up on my screen here. The lady sent me, I asked, "Hey, send me a picture with the book." And it turns out it went to the right person. If you see this picture, you know what? For people looking, I'll post it on the www.shopexit56.com website. But she's dressed in Nebraska gear. She has the national championship banner in the background, and she's proudly holding the book.
Well, so, if you send that picture to us in the email too, I'm pretty sure it'll make its way out into social media.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Because you always like to see things like that. It's like you wonder, like, there's some, you know, super fans out there. And, I talked to her a little bit.
Andy? Mm-hmm. She was in California, right?
Yeah, and she's out in California, but her daughter goes to Nebraska.
Okay. Yep.
So, again, she's obviously just a huge Nebraska fan. She knew all about Malachi, and she said, "Hey, all the money's going to a good cause, and I got a really cool book." So everybody was happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, for those of you listening, the whole reason, if you weren't here in the beginning, the whole reason that we're doing this show is because Fly Like Kai is raising money for the book, Fly Like Kai, and all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds for that book, go back into the Fly Like Kai Foundation, which donates money to organizations that have foster kids and puts them into sports. They do grant writing to support those organizations. They're doing all kinds of community work. They are, teaming up with people like my employer, Aloe Communications, Aloe Fiber, depending on where you're at, I'm Aloe Business. And we team up with organizations like this to put on charity events to raise money for these organizations, and all of these things are happening constantly. All the while, this young man is a scholar athlete. He is, an amazing football player, amazing athlete all around. He's dedicated to his family first and foremost, and this is just, I mean, if anyone out there has kids or plans on having kids, and if your kids can be raised half as well as, Malachi and his sister and his older brother have all been raised and how they behave and act, in the community, then you'll be doing an amazing job because, what these kids do and what they go out there and make their everyday mission to be is just absolutely incredible. And I can't even come up with enough words to just talk about how cool it is to watch what they're doing through your guys's lens, and just see all that and to be able to put it all out there. I have four kids of my own and I'm extremely proud of everything that they do and who they are and who they become and who they're going to become. But at the same time, it just always makes me so proud to see my friends and I consider you guys my friends, raise their kids like that and still hold it all together because you guys are, it's almost annoying how extremely normal you guys are. There's nothing that, you've never, like, ever since the first time that I reached out to you, Miranda, on Twitter of all things and was just like, "Hey, would you like to come on and do a show?" It's like, I'm sitting there, and the whole thing was about like Fly Like Kai. And just really what I wanted to do is just interview you, talk about what it's like to be a parent of a Husker player. Our relationship has evolved that, I think, and, it's kind of cool too, because, and like I said, I've never met your son. We haven't had him on the show. We haven't done anything because for me, it's never been about that. Right. It's just been kind of about like, this is cool that these people, they have this son who's so much in the spotlight. They're doing so much for the community. and they call me friend, you know, and that's the coolest part about it. You know, it's like hanging out with you guys in Minnesota for a while and all that stuff was going on. And then you came on, I think, didn't you come on to that podcast for a minute? Yeah. And talked for a while. Well, you did. I don't know if Craig got to talk at all, but
Craig doesn't talk a lot.
I said a few things.
Well, he's nice arm candy, you know, so
he's eye candy.
Yeah. So, but it's been so great. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, over the last year and a half of just, you know, us talking all the time and doing all this. And it's just really cool because it's like, you guys are just good, wholesome, normal, like Nebraskans. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, it's like, you know, you guys are, and you aren't just Nebraska nice, you know, it's like you mean it every single time, you know, you do it, you know, you're not, you know, smiling, you know, when other people are watching. So it's awesome. You know, I think, you know, we've been at this for almost an hour already. And, you know, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about, Andy, is there anything else you have to put out there or want to put out there?
I don't know. We mentioned the book website once, but I don't know if you're going to do it or not, but I'm going to give a plug to that again. It's www.shopexit56.com. So you can go there and not only see the books, but there's excerpts of the books out there. And you could see Dr. Tom's foreword that he wrote. He does a great job summarizing it. And ironically, Rob, you keep mentioning it, you know, you hadn't met Malachi yet. When I first talked to Coach Osborne, he said the same thing. He said, but I'm going to make it a point to meet him. And I think later on, he did actually meet him on the field. So I know he was impressed, and everybody does know the story. And the only other thing I'll add on it, two cool things. One, the book is going to every elementary school in Nebraska. So nice. I think there's 213. So each school will have one book. So the kids will be able to see it. And then the last kind of cool thing is, Miranda's alma mater elementary school, I think she got to go and read the book, and we donated some books to the kids at that school, which, you know, just kind of says what this is all about. And I'm just very appreciative of the, again, they're all in on this, which makes me all in, and couldn't be more thrilled and happier. So just want to publicly thank them. And it's just been a great ride so far. And I know it will continue to be a great ride going forward.
Absolutely. Craig?
Yeah, it's just a pretty crazy ride. I do have a hot take for you, though.
I want to hear it.
I was watching one of the Big Ten segments on Josiah Alec. This picture popped up from when he was a younger kid. I was like, wait a minute. I coached him on a baseball team with Ian. So probably about fifth grade, sixth grade. So I've got a hand in two Husker athletes and their development now.
Okay. I'm glad you're taking credit for that. I'm really glad you're taking. Did you also take credit for his fashion choices?
Josiah, obviously the hairstyle, that's all me.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. The jacket too.
Yeah.
And obviously, because I mean, we all know, you know, nobody likes to get in the last word more than myself, than Miranda. So
thanks, Rob. No, I really appreciate this. You know, I did want to put a little plug in. We are working with Link to Literacy, is who we're partnering with on the 1,025 books that we're fundraising for right now. To get those books out to ages 3 through 13 for every kid in the foster care system, age 3 to 13. That's where that 1,025 number comes from. So
that's great.
Really appreciate it all. This has been great.
Yeah. Well, I hope that we can at least, you know, I guess if we sell one book, you know, out of this show, I think that, you know, that makes it worth it and helps us get closer to that number. You know, and again, everybody, you can go, and now all of a sudden I can't find my banners that I just put out there, but I did put it in the comments there for everybody. So if you want to go to our YouTube or Facebook, flylikekai.org/donate, and then you can buy a book for yourself if you want at shopx56.com. shopexit56.com. Again, that's shopexit56.com to buy a book. And you can also donate to flylightkai.org/donate. Throw some money there, and the Redcast will be making $100 donation to that as well this evening. So I'll make sure to take care of that after the show. The other guys can't really fight me on it. They put me in charge of the finances. I do what I want. So, you know, that's what we get to do. That's why we raise the money, is to, you know, spend a little bit of ourselves. We give it out to Team Jack every year. We give it to you guys. You know, we give it to Globig. Different things that we try to give to. So, you know, while we do get paid, you know, very, you know, a little bit of money for all of this, you know, it is that. And I should also mention that we do have our sponsors too, that help put this show together. We've got Shane and Laura out at Smack and Smooch. You can find them on Facebook and on, well, all of social media, really. They do all kinds of custom design work for clothing, hats like I'm wearing now, t-shirts, logos for your company, or if you just want to buy some Redcast gear, you can reach out to them and they'd be more than happy to provide that to you. Again, that's Shane and Laura out at Smack and Smooch. And then also a big shout out to our biggest and most longtime sponsor, and that would be Alumni Hall. They have two Lincolns in location. One on P Street and one at South Point Pavilions, located behind Barnes & Noble is the easiest way. I believe it's on the south side of Barnes & Noble. You should go visit them for all of your Husker gear. They've got all kinds of cool Adidas stuff. I saw people looking for the Hoiberg, like, sweatshirt and the Hoiberg hoodie or quarter zip, all that he was wearing. And I'm pretty sure you can find that stuff at Alumni Hall. So go check it out, people. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone who is watching, listening, will be listening, will be watching, will be following me on Twitter someday, will be following the Redcast on Twitter someday, will be following Miranda on Twitter, Craig on Twitter, or Andy, I don't know if you have a Twitter, but
I'm on Twitter.
He's on Twitter too. So, you know, if we can, you know, appreciate every single one of you, because again, people, without you, there is no us. So, you know, that being said, thank you, and we'll see you guys next time on the Go Big Redcast.